Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, I pray that you would open that Bible right now to 1 Peter chapter 2, and just want to read one verse to you. I want to talk to you about God's Christmas tree this morning. God's Christmas tree. Could we honor God's word by standing to our feet? Would that be all right? Tell you what, I want to back up to verse 21. It'll make more sense. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for sins, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And here's our verse for the morning. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Father, would you honor and bless your holy, inerrant, inspired, authoritative word today? I pray, God, that you would speak to all of us. That, Father, we might hear from heaven today. Whether we understand this or not, whether we know all of these things that we're talking about or not, Jesus really is the reason for this season that we are in. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I've got a confession to make to you. I love Christmas trees. I really like looking at all the Christmas trees. And by the way, it's not Christmas without a Christmas tree, all right? And look at this beautiful tree that we have here. I think Lisa and Lauren put that together for us. And I don't know if you all have been down to the tour of trees at First Baptist Church. There's over 40 trees, and every one of those trees have been decorated beautifully and give the gospel story. So make plans to go see that. And so, and then there's beautiful trees down on the square. And Diana and I put up two trees, one in our den for us, and put another one that the grandkids and Isaac decorated out in the sunroom. But every tree's different, but gorgeous in its own right. Some trees, you know, have blinking lights. Others have blue lights. Some have bright lights. Some have white lights. Some have multicolored lights. Some trees are decorated with balls. Some of them are decorated with bows, but they're all beautiful. Do y'all know where the custom of the Christmas tree came from? Germany's right. 500 years ago, the great reformer, Martin Luther, was coming home one night in the woods to his house. And he was looking up at the night sky, and it was beautiful, filled with stars. And as he was looking up through those tree branches, he saw those, and it was almost as if the stars were hanging on the limbs of those trees. And so here's what he did. The next day, he went out and cut down a tree and took it home and then hung lighted candles in the tree. Now, I don't know how smart that is, but that was where the Christmas tree comes from. And in Germany, even today, they call the Christmas tree Christbaum, or Christ's tree. 2,000 years ago, the very first Christmas tree showed up on a hill outside Jerusalem. Not in the shape of a tree, but in the shape of a cross. I'm so thankful that my sweet wife was able. I wanted you all to hear that song. That's an old Barbara Mandrell song. And that song talks about what we're talking about this morning. You know, the life of Jesus is interesting. How many times his life is connected with a tree. He was born in a wooden... When he got a little bit older, he worked with wood because he was a... And Jesus died on an old wooden... And so over and over again, the cross is compared to a tree. The New Testament writers in Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 29, in Galatians 3:13, all talks about... There's one of them right there. Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, for what reason have you sent? I believe it's verse 39, Acts 10, 39. But over and over again, your New Testament writers talk about the cross as being a tree. Why would the Holy Spirit lead Luke and Paul and here Simon Peter to talk about the cross as a tree? Over and over again. You can read those scriptures when you get home today. Peter answers that question for us. The cross is God's Christmas tree to humanity. And every time you see a Christmas tree, it ought to remind you of some things. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Now, the first thing, I'm 66 years old. I saw some of you gasp. You couldn't believe I was 66. Y'all, it is all right to smile in church. It really is. You're not any more holy than when, you know, anyways. But for the last 15 or 20 years, having read this passage and studied it and applied it to my life, every time I look at a Christmas tree, I'm reminded of some things. And the first thing that a Christmas tree reminds us of is we remember that Jesus gave his life for us. We remember that Jesus gave his life for us. Isn't that what he says there in verse 24? Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree? Old Testament scriptures prophesy and predict and promise that a Savior, a Messiah, a Christ, the Christ would come and give his life as a payment for sin. And every time in the Old Testament you see a spotless lamb being sacrificed so that the sins of the people or the sins of someone, some individual could be forgiven, it points to the sacrifice that Jesus made. The New Testament presents Christ on a cross. And so every time we see a Christmas tree, we ought to be reminded that Jesus laid down his life so that we could be forgiven of our sin. Look at your neighbor and say, glory to God. Now look at your other neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. Now, a lot of folks, how many of y'all have decorated your tree already? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you had not? No. Somebody told me a couple of days, we have a tradition at our place that we wait until Christmas Eve to put up the tree and decorate it. And I wanted to ask, well, how long do you keep it up? Anyways, a lot of folks are decorating their Christmas tree this week, or maybe the past 2 weeks, and they have no thought of the birth of Jesus Christ. Certainly don't think about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ when they're decorating that tree. And most of them, many of those folks will not darken the door of a church during that Christmas season. Let me say this. You will never understand the importance of the birth of Christ until you understand the significance of the death of Jesus Christ. The Bible never talks about remembering the Lord's birth, although we're doing that. Amen? But it does say we're to remember his what? That's right. We're to remember his death. It's so significant. last Sunday night, as our kids and our adults and teenagers were singing up here, man, I just got to thinking about the cross. I got to thinking about how Jesus came and lived a perfect, sinless life. Never gave in to sin. Tempted in all forms as we are, but never did sin. Why? Because he's completely God. And that's how he was able to become the sacrifice for your sin and mine. That's how he was able to lay his life down for us. Because he's God's perfect 10, as we talked about for 10 weeks. He's God's perfect son. And I'm so thankful that Jesus laid down his life. God's Christmas tree reminds us that Jesus gave his life so that I could be forgiven of my sin. You saw the baptisms this morning? That's a beautiful picture of a death. That's a beautiful picture of a death. The death of Christ and the death of that new believer. The old you is dead, buried, and gone. Amen? And baptism is a great picture. It's an identification of belonging to Christ and the body of Christ. And the reason that the Lord's birth is so special is because his death was so special. And the reason his death was so special is because of his resurrection. Hallelujah! He's not dead anymore. He is alive. And he will receive anyone that comes to him by faith. Got to be willing to turn from your sin and receive what Jesus Christ did. And so when we take a look at this Christmas tree, I'm so thankful for the forgiveness of sin and how Jesus paid the price for everything I've ever done. Y'all with me so far? So the first thing that we ought to remember is that Jesus laid down his life for us. And then when I see another Christmas tree, I realize that I should live my life for him. Hello? Look at, again at verse 24. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Let me read that one more time. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By the way, God expects us to live a righteous life. He expects that. We don't preach that enough in the Baptist church. Amen. If saved, always saved, right? Why did Jesus have to die on a tree? Why did he have to die on a cross to pay for our sins? Our sins needed to be paid for. And by the way, if you haven't received Jesus, guess who's going to pay for your sin? You are. Why would you want to do that when he's already paid the price for you? But Peter reminds us of just as great a truth that not only did Jesus pay for our sin, because he shed his precious blood, he removed our sin, and we are saved not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. We are dead to sin. Amen? We're dead to sin. Sin doesn't have any hold over us. I've been emancipated. I've been freed up. I'm no longer enslaved to sin. Before I got saved, you see, I really didn't even have a choice. Really didn't even think about it. I just sinned because that's who I am. That's what sinners do, right? But after I received the payment for my sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that verb there, having died, means literally to be removed from. The light bulb's going to come on here in just a minute. To be removed from. When we die, what happens? Our soul is removed from our body. Body goes to the grave, and your soul goes one of two places, heaven or hell. But here's the deal. Once you come to faith in Christ, once you're born again, once you're saved, you get the privilege of living for Jesus. And you can live. You're dead to sin. All your sins have been removed. They've been taken away, washed away, forgiven. And so you have the ability to live righteously because you are covered in the righteousness of Christ. And so we don't have to sin. We do sin, but bless God, we ought to sin less and less and less. Can I get a witness? Go ahead and elbow your spouse, all right? Every time. You know, by the way, we make a big deal of his birth, and we should, right? Right? But man, it is through his death that we can really live. Y'all, that's a good statement. If you've taken notes, write that one down. If we're going to make a big deal of his birth, it is only by his death that we can really begin to live. We live like Christ. We're as Christ. We're little Christians. And you can do that because you've been delivered from the penalty and the power of sin. Every time I see a Christmas tree, I realize that I can live my life for him. You know what? I've got time. Y'all, I've got a new phone, and I'm still trying to learn how to use it. But this has been one of the greatest weeks in ministry for me. We were at Smith School. This week, we were at Moore School. Did a couple of funerals this week. But I'm so thankful for Greg and Cindy Lee. What a blessing they are to this church. And they have a ministry beside their building up in Nashville, beside their business called Mother to Mother. And they've got so much stuff for young families, they started using Greg's warehouse, and now you can't even get into Greg's warehouse because of all their stuff. And so Greg told me a couple of weeks, he said, we need to get rid of some of this stuff, you know. And it's not just bad stuff, it's good stuff. We're talking designer clothes. Boy, you ladies perked up. We're talking brand new Christmas toys. We're talking coats and gloves and all kinds of things like that. And I got here. Listen to this. Watch this. Don't miss this. I got this from Kelsey Cox, who is the principal at Moore School. Pastor Cal. And the congregation of Second Mile Church, that's you all, okay? While there are thank you cards in the mail heading your way, I wanted to make sure that you also receive pictures of the blessings that you have provided for our students. We were able to provide any student that still needed a winter jacket and accessories, those items. We were able to add dental products to our hygiene closet as well as include these items in Christmas boxes to families in need. Our school counselor, Mrs. Rebecca, and two of our educational assistants, Mrs. Etta and Mrs. Jackie, set up a toy store for the students with the toy donations. The toy store brought pure joy to our students. The room was full of smiles, laughter, and squeals of excitement as students selected toys. Mrs. Etta said that in all the decades that she has been serving in our school system, that this was the best day she had ever had. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you is not enough to express the gratitude that I feel toward the donations that you all provided to our students. Our students deserve all the good that this world has to provide, and you all have shown them this goodness. You all know how you spell goodness, don't you? J-E-S-U-S. I look forward to our continued partnership. I wish each of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus provided for 1,080 kids. 1,080 kids at Smith and Moore School. And then Wednesday morning, this church provided breakfast for the teachers at Moore School. Hallelujah. And I've told them, don't get to thinking highly of us down there at Second Mile Church. What makes us good is Jesus. He's the reason we do what we do. Every time we see a Christmas tree, we realize that we ought to live for Him. Amen? Woo, this is good stuff. There's a third thing. Every time we see a Christmas tree, we're reminded, we remember that Jesus gave His life for us. And we realize that we ought to live our lives for Him and His glory and His praise and His honor. We ought to live a righteous life. But then thirdly, we rejoice because we've been healed. Now that's not a Baptist word, but look at your neighbor and say, healed. All right, listen to this. By whose stripes you were healed. That's a quote from the book of Isaiah. And I don't know how long you've been Baptist or how long you've been this or how long you've been that, but I want to tell you something. God still heals. And healing took place at Calvary. All of our diseases and our sicknesses and our illnesses have been healed. That's what it says. Have been healed. Well, my daughter was never healed. I want to tell you, David and Carol's daughter is so much better than we are this morning. She is completely healed. But we've got a sickness and an illness that's even bigger than some physical. Now, I believe in physical healing. This is anointing oil from Israel. Now, all this oil is symbolic of is the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we'll anoint people and pray for people to be healed. We've had some folks healed. But I believe in healing physically, healing socially, healing relationally, healing mentally, all kinds of healing. But the greatest healing that ever takes place is a spiritual healing. That's the sickness none of us can get over. That's the sickness that there's no cure for. With humanity. We tried to get around our sin. We tried to get over our sin, under our sin, through our sin. We tried to whip sin. We've got this sickness called sin. My daddy spent 7.5, and Susan's daddy spent a little more than seven years as medical missionaries, he and my mom over in Busan, South Korea. And about the time they got home, we were called to the pastorate, and so we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, Diana and my two small girls at the time. And I believe it was my first semester in seminary, working on my Master's of Divinity. I got a call from Dad, and he said, "Son, I just wanted you to know that somehow or other I've contracted leukemia." And Dad's real, just matter of fact, you know, his bedside manner is terrible with his sons and daughters. He's great with his patients, but he said, "Textbooks tell me I've got about four years to live. 100% of the people that die with the kind of leukemia I've got about, you know, but out of God's grace, he lived 19 years with leukemia. And they kept coming up with stuff, you know. But along about 4 years before he died, Dad contracted an autoimmune deficiency. And about this time of year, the last 4 or 5 years of his life, he would quarantine and isolate himself because he didn't want to be contaminated by some sickness or illness. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so he'd stay at the house when it got cold. Because he didn't want to get the flu, he didn't want to get pneumonia, he didn't want to get some sickness in. So he would isolate. He would just stay in by himself and quarantine. What a word that is. But in a much larger way, our Heavenly Father has to quarantine and isolate himself from sin, because he is so holy and he is so righteous. And he can't have anything to do with sin. He can't expose himself to sin. And so he had to isolate and quarantine, if you will, from our greatest sickness and disease called sin. But you know what? God hates sin, but he loves sinners. And so what he decided to do was to send his one and only unique son and stepped in to our situation and took care of our problem. And so if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have been healed of the greatest sickness, the greatest illness that's ever happened to this planet. Hallelujah. I promise you, some of y'all are going to get happy before Christmas gets here. If that doesn't make you happy, if that doesn't fill you with joy and give you the pep in your step and the glide in your stride, something's wrong spiritually. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every time we see a Christmas tree, we rejoice because we've been healed. I run into believers that are not members here from time to time, and almost immediately, I'll have a kindred spirit. I've got something in common with them, and I don't even know who they are. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because they've received healing, and I've got healing. Amen? Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Preacher, there's no way I can compare the cross to a Christmas tree. It doesn't have ornaments. Cross didn't have ornaments. Cross didn't have decorations. Cross didn't have lights on it. Well, I beg to differ. John chapter 9 and verse 5 says that Jesus is the light of the world. And God said, here's my Christmas tree. Right there is the light of God's grace on that tree. Right there is the light of God's mercy. Right there is the light of God's forgiveness. Right there on that tree is the light of God's love. Whew. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. I don't know how many more years I've got, but every Christmas when I see a Christmas tree, I'm going to remember that Jesus gave his life for me. I'm going to realize that he expects me to live a righteous life for his honor. And then I'm going to rejoice because, bless God, I have been healed. Amen. Father, we're at the conclusion of this message, and it's the most important time of the service. It really is. I don't know what to do with it, but this is not up to me. I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just your mouthpiece. And there are folks here that need Jesus. There are people here in this church house that need the light of the world to light up their life. And I'm living proof God will receive anybody if we come to him his way. While you're here this evening with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a great question. Are you in relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're one of God's children? That you've received him as your Lord and Savior? You're trusting in him and him alone as the forgiveness of all your sins. You've turned from your sin and given him everything that you are. He's the Lord of your life. Have you done that? Are you walking with him? Do you know him? Bigger question is, does he know you? If you'd be willing right where you sit today to pray a prayer with all of your heart for the first and only time that you really need to do this, if you really mean business with God, and say something like, Lord, I believe the gospel. I believe and know that I'm a sinner. I've chosen my own sinful way, and my sin has offended you. But God, I thank that Jesus and believe that Jesus is your Son. And He paid for all my sins at a cross on a tree so that I could be forgiven and be set free. As best I understand it today, I want to give you everything that I am to everything that you are. Forgive me and save me. I promise to live for your glory and power and honor. Thank you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed in your heart something like that, a prayer like that, it's not the prayer that saved you. It's the condition of your heart. And God heard your heart just now. And the Bible says, He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. He'll receive you today. The Bible also says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And the very first thing that a saved person needs to do is come for believer's baptism. Maybe you need a church home. Maybe there's some kind of issue you got going on in your life. We're going to ask all of you in just a moment to get up from where you're sitting and just come to the front of this altar. And we'll help you to discern what it is that God's saying to you. We'll open the scriptures and share God's word to it. We'll do the best we can do to get you started right in your new life with Christ, and in some cases, in your walk with Christ. But you've got to come. It's your choice. Nobody's going to drag you out of the seat. You've got to willingly come. I want to ask you again, do you know Him? Father, give us the strength. Don't let the evil one deceive us any longer. Oh God, help us. Give folks the strength to give the greatest gift they could give to you this Christmas, their whole heart. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This is your time. God's speaking. Your heart's beating strong. You know you're under conviction. The Spirit of God is leading you, pulling on you. It's your time. And all you need to do is just simply come up one of these aisles, that, and we'll help you to figure out what's going on. Okay?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.